is a psalm for many that is a huge encouragement. A lot of people have memorized this, and in fact, it's one of the few passages, it's close to my heart, which I have also memorized. Psalm 23 shows who God is. He's our shepherd who provides, who protects, and who prepares. And we are his sheep. For today's passage, it's been sectioned into, it's only six verses, it's a very short psalm, but we've sectioned it into three sections. And for those who like writing or taking notes, hopefully these are the 3 points we'll go through, and these are the verses for each point. My name is Mandy, and I've been part of this 9 a.m. congregation for quite some time now, since high school. And it's my absolute honour and privilege to share the word with you this morning. I have preached once before, but it was over Zoom during lockdown. So it's definitely not the same preaching online versus face-to-face in person to each one of you. Let me begin by praying. Father God, thank you so much that we can come to church this morning and hear your word. We pray you'll speak clearly and teach us exactly what we need to hear this morning, and that we can leave this church and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Point one, God provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down on green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is a shepherd that knows what we need and provides for it. Can you see? So in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For some context, David wrote this psalm, and probably when he was a king, he thought, what is a way to describe my relationship with God? He had a lot of different images to choose from. Yet, he chose shepherd. David himself was a shepherd when he was young. He tended sheep for his father, but it wasn't the most glamorous role. He was the youngest son, but it was a role he knew intimately. Did you notice? Verse one, it's my shepherd. David calls the Lord my shepherd, not the shepherd, a shepherd. He's not other people's shepherds, but it's so personal to David. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd that cares for me, that watches over me, that preserves me. But what's the assumption here? If the Lord is my shepherd, what does David think he is? Sheep, of course. David feels like he's sheep. How many times do you guys think the Bible references to sheep? Shout some numbers at me. 50. 50. Higher than 50. 100. Higher than 100. 1,000. Not that high. Between 100 and 1,000? Any? Around 200, which is a lot. It's a lot. And Jesus often compares us to sheep and himself as the shepherd. But why do you think David thought of himself as a sheep? I created a quiz to see if we as a congregation have sheep-like qualities and feel like David. Quality number one. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep get lost very easily and they wander away from the flock. I know I myself have zero sense of direction. I rely on my GPS in my car to go anywhere. And once I was in Taiwan with my friend and we were walking along the same street and we had just left our hotel and I kept looking back. And I said to her, "Where's our hotel?" And she said, "We're on the same street, Mandy. It's behind us." And then a few minutes later, I'm like, "Where's our hotel? It's still on the same." I could go on a straight road and still not know exactly where I'm going. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Do you ever get lost easily? You wander away from the right path? How many times do we follow people who we think know the correct way, but they don't? And how many times do we ourselves think we're the leader and we get ourselves into trouble? In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the inequity of us all." Does that resonate with anyone? Sheep have no sense of direction. Do you get lost sometimes? Well, the quality, sheep quality number two, sheep are defenseless. When you think of animals, there's so many animals out there with so many defenses. There's animals that can bite, animals that can sting, animals that can scratch, can even, hide. But sheep, what's their defense mechanism? They run away together. And when they're scared of something, they run away, hopefully in the right direction, but they just run away. And they really have not many defense mechanisms. Are we the same way? We can kick a little, hide, run. But mostly we're pretty defenseless. We, in fact, need to stick together as Christians in order to have any power whatsoever. You can see in Matthew as well, Jesus is the one speaking here. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Do we feel defenseless? The last quality is sheep are emotional. Did you guys know this? Sheep are emotional. They build friendships amongst the herds. It's very cute, actually. And they have fights as well amongst the herds. They can stand up for each other. And they get really sad if their sheep friends get sick. And they also get really anxious as well. They're quite emotional. But amazingly, sheep can recognize their own shepherd's voice. So each shepherd have their own call. And to a normal person, it sounds the same. That call doesn't really sound very different. But to their sheep, they know exactly their own shepherd's call, and they know which one's a stranger's call, and they know who to follow. And in fact, they'll run away from someone who's a stranger. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Can you tell the difference between a shepherd's voice and a stranger's voice? Is it familiar to you? We do have the ability to hear the shepherd's voice if we stop and listen, but we need that personal connection. We need to be like the sheep, day and night, being with their shepherd. So there you go. The three qualities. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep are defenseless. And sheep are emotional creatures. Do you feel like David? Do you see God as my shepherd who guides and protects? And can you recognize his voice? That was just half of verse 1. Let's get to the second half of verse 1. There's so much to unpack here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, when you're in want, you're lacking, not fulfilled, but the Lord knows what you want. And we can see why in the next verses. So the passage here, he makes me, verse 2, he makes me lie down on green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God knows what we need and provides for it. And what do we need? We need rest. You can see here, God provides his sheep physical rest with green pastures and still waters, and also spiritual rest. He restores my soul and leads me on paths of righteousness. But a shepherd needs to make his sheep rest. I have to admit, when I first read verse 2, I had to reread it. He makes me lie down on green pastures. He makes me lie down on green pastures. He needs to make me lie down on green pastures. Let me tell you something. For those who know me, I love my sleep. I love my naps. It's easy for me to go from sitting on the couch to lying on the couch to falling asleep. No one ever needs to make me lie down. I will do it willingly. Getting me to get up is a hard bit, actually. When I was at the hospital to give birth to my daughter, I got something called an epidural, which basically makes you not feel the pain and the contractions of giving birth. And because I love my sleep, the moment I got my epidural and had no pain, I slept. And I slept and I slept. I slept from night till the next day till 11:30. And because my husband was sitting in the hospital room with me, I heard the midwives come in to speak to him. You know when you're asleep, but then you kind of hear your name and hear people talking about you and you kind of wake up, but you pretend you're asleep because you know, not ready to get up yet? That was me. I heard the midwives say to my husband, "Is she still asleep? She can't still be asleep. She needs to get up and give birth. She needs to start pushing soon." But so you can see, for me, you know, being made to lie down in green pastures is foreign. But have you also been like me, which happened last night, unfortunately, where you have sleepless nights? I couldn't sleep last night. I laid in bed till 1, kept checking the clock, just very anxious. I can't lie down. And there are times where it's hard to lie down. I know I need sleep, but I'm not getting it. Is there something you need that you know you need, but you're not getting it? Do you need peace? Do you need love? Do you need a sense of security? You just, without it, you just can't lie down. What is it that you need that you aren't getting? Well, sheep are very nervous creatures. They can't sleep at night. They probably have more sleepless nights than non-sleepless nights because sheep need 4 things to be met before they can sleep. The shepherd needs to have dealt with fear. The sheep can't be worried. Friction. The sheep can't be in an argument with another sheep. Flies. The sheep can't be annoyed by flies. And famine. The sheep can't be hungry. So the sheep can't be scared, can't be in a fight, can't have flies around, and can't be hungry. And the shepherd needs to meet these four conditions in order for the sheep to be able to rest and calm down. And here in this picture, you can see God is dealing with these things. Verse 3, he leads me beside still waters. And you can see it's a picture of peace and physical rest. It's not loud water that would scare the sheep. It's pure, and we can refresh ourselves in him. But you can see in verse 3 as well, he provides us with spiritual rest. He restores my soul. God knows we're exhausted. Our soul needs restoration. Right now, I know personally, and as a congregation, I'm sure you know that there's people out there who are feeling low. Life can be exhausting. It can be frustrating, and it can be confusing. But God can restore your soul, and it's deep. Do you believe that? Deep restoration that God can provide. And he also leads us. Leads me in the path of righteousness. And can you see there's a moral aspect to this? And it's for his name's sake. It's for the sake of the name of the shepherd, to his glory, to his credit. That's point one. God provides. So just to recap, God, the shepherd, knows what we need and provides for them. He knows what we need is both physical and spiritual rest. You can see that in the three verses. Physical rest in the green pastures and still waters, and the spiritual rest in restoring our soul. Following along so far? Good. Point number two, which we'll look at in verse 4. God protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God protects us in the valleys of our lives. You can see here David is going through the valley, and God protects him by being with him, using his rod, and using his staff. And this brings comfort to David. He feels so much better, and he fears no evil. Let's take a closer look. Verse 4. So let's look at verse 4 together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's David doing? He's walking through. Do you notice words walking and through? It's clear this is not the destination for him. It's not the home for him. He's walking through it. The goal isn't to stay in it. He's going from one side and walking through the other. And where is he walking through? It's the valley of the shadow of death, or in other translations, the darkest valley. And let's break it down. Pictured is the valley, which is basically, the low area of land between the mountains, and you're surrounded. You can't see anything. It's hedged in on both sides, so the bottom. And this valley of the shadow of death, he hints that it's linked to the evil, which he fears, which is in the next verse. There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon that I want to share with you. It is not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. For death in its substance has been removed. Only a shadow of it remains. Nobody's afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us therefore not be afraid. You can see here in point two, God protects David and us in the valleys of our death. We can see David's walking through this valley of the shadow of death, and yet he fears no evil. He doesn't say there is no evil, but he says he won't fear it. And do you notice it's actually the shepherd? It's the shepherd that leads David through this valley in the first place. That the reason David's walking through the valley of the shadow of death is because he is following the shepherd who led him there and through there. But why is David so bold? Yeah, I will fear no evil. Well, God protects him in three ways. By being with him, his rod, and his staff. You see, the shepherd isn't standing on top of the mountain yelling, "Come back here!" No. He is right there with them. He moves himself from a place of safety to a place of danger in harm's way with them. And do you notice the pronoun change in the verse? It says, before David was talking about the shepherd, but now he's talking to the shepherd. He uses you rather than he. Can you see that? It's much more personal, and it shows his relationship with the shepherd. So God's first method of protection is he is with you. And the second and third is his rod and staff. And I want to show you this picture on what it looks like. A rod is what it's like a club, a stick. And the purpose of a rod is it's a weapon that shepherds wear on the belt, and they pull it out to defend against wild predators. And it seems that David has used this in the past. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it." In contrast, the staff looks a bit like a walking stick. It's longer, thinner, and it means support in the sense that it's used for the shepherd to walk with and round up the flock and to control. You can see these are God's methods of protection, reminding David, "I am with you. I have a rod to defend the sheep and protect them against predators. And I have a staff that I can guide you and I can help control the flock." And this itself is enough to be a great source of comfort to David. David is going through the valley once again, and God protects him by being with him using his rod and staff, and this comforts David, and he fears no evil. Recently, our whole family contracted COVID. Unfortunately, this was quite a few weeks ago. And my daughter, she's only two, and she can't get vaccinated, and she got pretty sick. We all had all the symptoms, so if it was a checklist, we ticked all of them. She was very miserable, and you may say she was in the valley for her in her life. And over the 7 days, we had to isolate, and I had to take her to get a test, the PCR test, where they stick up your nose and the back of her throat, and she really didn't like it. But I knew that this was important for her. In order for her to get better, she needs to take these different steps, and I was with her every step of the way in this valley of her life, and I tried my best to protect her from getting more and more sick. Like Trinity's, my daughter's experience and my experience, God doesn't promise a life where there is no valley, nor does he eliminate the evils, but he does promise to be right there next to you, and he has the tools to guide and protect you. That David, like us, could look on the face of Jesus and know his presence and know that you are with me and you fear no evil. Do you trust that for yourselves? Do you trust his protection and his presence? Do you trust that his rod and staff is sufficient? Here we end the second point, found in verse 4. God protects. So this slide summarizes what we just talked about. Now, the next point is point 3, God prepares. So we'll go back to the passage, and it's in the final verses, verse 5 to 6. God prepares. Let's read it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has prepared a table of abundance in his house forever. You can see the image has shifted. It's no longer shepherd and sheep, but host and guest. He prepares this feast, a special occasion. You can see thought was put in it, and it's before David, which once again is quite personal. It's a table before David. And interestingly, in this image, David's enemies looked on. I don't know about you, when I throw parties, I invite my friends. I would never invite my enemies or people, you know. Why is it that, you know, the enemies can look on? And you can see that God, as the host, his care and concern doesn't eliminate the presence of enemies, but because he has the power to protect, David, though surrounded and in view of enemies, can sit down at this table of confidence and feast in perfect security. Verse 5, it continues, you anoint my head with oil. Hosting and hospitality was very different back then. They walked long distances to places and they often got really hot. And it was an ancient custom of hospitality to pour, believe it or not, pour oil on the esteemed guests' heads to refresh it. You guys can try it at your next party that you host. You can have your guests line up at the door and put some oil on their head. We'll see how that goes. But it was refreshing. And remember the story when Jesus came to the house and this woman poured perfume at the feet of Jesus? And Jesus rebuked the dinner host. In Luke chapter 7, he says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not, and this is the bit I want you to pay attention, you did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So you can see God, the great host, sees David as an esteemed guest. And my cup overflows. Have you ever had your cup overflow? I've got a photo that I will show you on the slide shortly of a picture that is captured at the perfect moment. So this is me in Korea pouring water, hopefully into the cup. But if it was a video, it would have missed completely. And this is a picture where it snapped at a perfect moment. And my friend said I should have gone to Specsavers because the story behind this is I really like the jug. You know, I told my husband, hey, I really like this jug. It's really pretty. Take a photo of me pouring water with this pretty jug. And then I was concentrating on, you know, looking pretty myself, that I was not looking. I had the perfect pose, not actually looking at anything, not the cup, not the water. And when he took the photo, you can see it was perfect. You can see the water and the cup. Our whole table was wet, and Elon couldn't understand why I couldn't pour him and I a simple glass of water. But that's just a picture of when your cup overflows. But it's a picture of abundance, that there's no shortage of this drink. And once again, God has prepared this table of abundance. So back to verse 6, we'll look at the last bit of verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This picture of abundance continues, but not just in the flowing of the cup, and it's of goodness and mercy. And can you see? God hasn't just prepared a party and, you know, invited us as a guest for one day. We're not his acquaintances that gets to see him once. Can you see that we can live with him, dwell in the house of the Lord forever? We are his children. We are his sons and daughters. And that, like David, if we put our trust in God, we too can declare, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I look back on my life and see mercy and love has followed me. There is confidence that I have that God has provided me with the goodness for today, and that he has assured me of his faithfulness for tomorrow. And I want that for myself, the confidence for today and assurance for tomorrow. And I want that for you guys as well. The psalm ends with the assurance that the presence of the Lord can be enjoyed forever, both in this day, in this life, and beyond. What Jesus did on the cross, dying on the cross and resurrecting, he has secured our place in God's house forever. So we can confidently say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. To end, Psalm 23 shows us who God is. He is, and that's point three, by the way, sorry. He is our shepherd who provides, who protects, and who prepares. And we are his sheep. He provides us for us physical and spiritual rest. He protects us in the valleys of our lives. And he prepares a table of abundance and a place at his table forever. Do you find you can't find true rest? God provides. When we're going through trials, he is with us. God protects. And when you doubt whether you have a place in his house, God has prepared it in advance. We as sheep, we lack these things, but God is all these things. Do you believe this?